Okay, great. Well, now we have quorum. Thank you, everybody. Let's get started. Gabby, identify the folks who sent apologies.
Yes, I have apologies from Keith Davidson, Demi Getchko. He might join later, but he probably won't make it. Young and Lee, Rolf Meyer, and Vikam Visana.
Okay.
Would you like me to read all actions or just the ones that haven't been completed?
I think just the ones that haven't been completed because the list, for anybody who is on Adobe Connect, you can see the list and all the ones that are identified as done. Yeah, if you could just speak to the ones that are outstanding, please.
Yeah, I have action 8903, the chair to inform the CEO and president of ICANN on of the adoption of the guidelines for voluntary contributions of CCTLDs to ICANN. Byron.
So that has been done in the sense that I have sent it. They have all the material. I haven't received confirmation of it yet, but my part of that transaction is done.
Okay. Then we have action 8905, the chair to consult the other SOAC chairs to gain more clarity on the purpose of the three IG tracks and report to the council in 2 weeks' time. Byron.
So that is in progress between all the various SOAC chairs. I don't think there's clarity on the purpose per se, and it's a conversation that's ongoing.
Then all the other actions have been done.
Okay, thank you.
Byron?
Yes.
This is Christina. I just wanted to point out that several people have trouble hearing you. So if you can do anything about that, that'd be great.
Can you hear me better now?
I think it's much better.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we're going to move on to item number 3, selection of board member, seat number 11. Gabby, rather, did you want to take us through this one?
I think, Bart, you wrote
No, it's fairly simple. Good afternoon, everybody. It's fairly simple. It's Gabby sent out the report of the election manager for board seat. The only nominee was Chris Dispin, and he was properly seconded. We had the meeting in Buenos Aires for questioning, etc. And the next step that the council, and that's part of the ICANN bylaws, needs to select the board member. So therefore, there is the resolution that the select Chris Dispin to fill ICANN board seat number 11, starting at the end of the annual meeting, or general meeting, so it's the annual meeting, into 2014, again for a term of 3 years. And normally the council, the chair will inform the ICANN secretary accordingly to John Jeffries. And then the final sentence is, the council congratulates Chris on his nomination and selection and then expresses his deep appreciation for his services to date on the ICANN Board of Directors.
Thank you. Since this is new material, not on the original one that I received, do we have to vote on this right now? Acclaim the resolution?
Yes, what we do during council meetings is there, first of all, are there any questions relating to this item, because it was on the agenda.
Okay. Are there any questions relating to Chris's nomination for board seat 11. Any questions? No hands up on Adobe? No. Okay, I'll take that as no outstanding questions.
And maybe next step is more as a vote whether it's easier to ask if there are any abstentions and or objections, assuming that the majority will be in favor, or we can use the Adobe room to vote.
Okay. Any abstentions? I call for abstentions. Any objections or no? Hearing none and seeing none on Adobe, I will consider that resolution passed unanimously. Thank you very much. Okay, on to item number 4, update council on the election for fiscal 2014. Gabby?
Yeah, so we have elections ongoing in the African and European regions right now. They are ending on Friday night, and I'm pleased to report that we have met the quorum for both regions by now, so the results will be valid. And that's all I can say.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward to that. Any questions for Gabby on that? No? Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to number 5. And there are a couple of people on the call who can speak to the issues. As you'll recall, at the Buenos Aires meeting, we identified several people who were going to be our community's point person, or at least the person monitoring the different internet governance streams. So Carolina was going to be our point person on monitoring progress with the Brazil meeting and the Brazil meeting itself. Mathieu on the OneNet initiative and myself on the fifth panel. And we also had Keith on the cross-community working group on internet governance. Unfortunately, Keith has sent his apologies, and Matthew's not here. But maybe Carolina, was there anything happening on the Brazil meeting that you would like to identify for us? If you're talking, you're probably on mute. We can't hear anything. Okay, did you see that on Adobe? She said she is talking, but we can't hear anything. All right, well...
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's a fair amount of feedback.
Is it better now?
Yes, yes, better now.
Okay, Well, there has been this press release that was sent 10 days ago by the Brazilian authorities, including the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee. And there is a point now where different steering committees to organize the meeting to develop a strategic vision to more the organization and the logistics part of it are starting to take shape. But it is still a very... the process is not quite clear as to how those different steering committees will be evolving and who will take part in those different steering committees. So I would say that for the moment it is still a bit unclear, and I think that the different stakeholders and particularly the technical community would look at organizing themselves through different channels other than the OneNet email list distribution. And I think that's all for the moment.
Okay, thank you. So that was there was a little bit of feedback there, but basically what I heard is the logistics leading up to the Brazil meeting are still in process, and the steering committees are still sorting themselves out, and the technical community itself doesn't seem particularly well represented. Maybe I could ask you, Carolina, do you have any sense of the timing on when those steering committees are going to be effective?
There are still many ambiguous issues about it, but one of the deadlines that's being discussed is the 15th of December as a key date, but that is still unclear. So I would say that by the end of this week, beginning of the next week, there will be a different kind of movement along these lines.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Carolina? Okay, then I will give you a very quick update on the fifth strategy panel, of which I'm a member. It apparently will be meeting, or it is confirmed to be meeting, three times in the lead-up to the Brazil meeting. The first time is actually in London this week, this Thursday and Friday, and then there's another meeting in late January. And the third one has not been confirmed yet in terms of location, but apparently there'll be three two-day meetings. It is definitely seems to be loosely organized at this moment, and it would appear that they're, it's not fully formed in terms of the program or the planning. And seemingly it's a little bit last minute right now, although the London meeting for this Thursday and Friday is finally taking shape. So that's about as much as I can report right now. They have only just sent out the agenda and pre-readings last night, as a matter of fact, so I haven't had that, or for me last night, so I haven't actually even had a chance yet to look at them because it's early morning right now. So, this first one is a little bit last minute, but hopefully that will improve as the process goes on. And that's all I have to report on the fifth strategy panel at this time. Any comments or questions? Any general questions about the various Internet governance fora? No? Okay. I consider that agenda item done.
Byron, this is Byron.
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe it's a good thing for the council to know that, say, that we set up a email list and there will be regular meetings as well.
Yes, that's a good point. For the various people on or acting on our behalf as the point person on these various initiatives, we have just set up an informal mailing list and a once-a-month call, which will really just be to update each other on what's happening so that if there's any opportunity for information sharing or otherwise, we will have this informal group that can do exactly that. It's just been set up. We haven't had any kind of meeting yet, though.
And in addition, maybe that, say, Patricia Poblete is part of the
he's backing up Keith
working
with
group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Keith has been identified as I think people will recall from BA, Keith has been identified as the point person on the CCWG for Internet Governance, but Patricio has volunteered to assist him there as well, and should Keith not be able to participate in anything, Patricio will be backing him up.
And maybe finally but this is more a proposal, that for the next council call, maybe invite Mathieu and Patricio to join for this particular agenda item.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Bart.
Okay.
On to item number six, the straw man for the working group on the use of country names as TLDs. There was an attachment sent with the agenda. Bart, do you want to walk us through this?
Yes. This is probably you will follow the final report of the study group itself, which advised or recommended to create a community working group. Staff was tasked to draft the strawman, and the strawman is included, say, with the help of Paul Schindler and Heather Forrest, of, say, who has been very active but who's on the genus side. We came up with a draft, and yeah, most basic one is, in order to make it a cross-community working group, is that, again, all the, if they want, say, all the participating organizations have to adopt the charter, including the GET. And, but given the rather sometimes peculiar role of the GAC, so there are two alternatives in it, and that's reflected in the strawman. And the second main point is that for anything comes out of this working group, and that's, I think it is a good experience we have from the CCNSO side, is that all participating SOs and ACs have to endorse the recommendations of such a working group. So there's no there are no surprises, because that's happened in the past, and that's why it's sometimes very difficult for the, or that's why it's such an issue for the GNSO. And it's on the agenda. If you agree with, say, the, and it's a swarm, and so it's a draft. If the council agrees, we can start sharing it with the other SOs and ACs. So it's not definite. It will change over time, but at least it's a starting point to set up such a cross-community working group.
Thank you, Barr. Any questions or comments on that attachment that was included in your package on the straw man?
No.
Any concerns about sharing it? I think Paul and company have certainly done good work, and we've been well kept up to date along the way. Okay, so we don't need a resolution or anything to share it around.
No, I will just say, based on this, say, I'll inform the RSOs through either staff or directly that, say, this is there for discussion, and say, if we could say my goal would be to have such a cross-community working group by the Singapore meeting.
Okay, so by the Singapore meeting.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Any final comments on item number 7? Okay, hearing none. That was on item number 6. Now on to item number 7, recommendations from the study group on quorum rules. Again, there was material sent with the agenda that did, in fact, include some recommendations. But Katrina, would you like to speak to the report?
Yes. So just briefly, summarizing everything that's in the report, we looked into four different types of voting, voting on policy development issues, elections to the council and the board, council voting, but that was outside the scope of our working group, so we did not elaborate on this one. And we also looked into the rules of the CCNSO, and just try to identify those areas where some improvements or changes are just needed, because time has passed since the rules of CCNSO were adopted in 2004. So definitely situation has changed. So, just looking into all those issues, and so we try to analyze benefits and drawbacks of having quorum rules. And in the end, the group came up with four recommendations. First of all, we still believe that quorum for policy development voting is necessary because, because that's the policy is binding for the members of the CNSO, and so one would really expect people to participate in the voting process, and just because they are the ones who will have to implement the policy in their respective CCTLDs later. Then we also identify that in some cases CCTLDs join CCNSO maybe to formalize their relations to ICANN, just to be, and actually they don't aim to actively participate in the work of CCNSO. And in this case, there must be a mechanism allowing them to identify how we should treat their non-vote. If they're not planning to participate in any voting, so there must be some tools how they can actually say that, okay, please don't count us into quorum because we just not going to participate anyway. We still believe that quorum perhaps is not necessary for council elections, because, for example, if there's only one candidate, then there's no voting whatsoever. So why would we ask for a quorum if there are several candidates? So our proposal is to abandon the current quorum rule for council elections. And we also believe that it's time to review the rules of the CCNSO according to the current needs. So that's a very short summary.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Katrina? None at all? This is an important one.
Peter has a question.
Peter.
Okay, Peter.
Hey, Katrina. Hey, Katrina. Thanks for the update. I think there is one fundamental question that I have, and it might not be under the scope of this particular working group, but there is always the question to what cost you want to keep a member as a member. And we have the discussion in Centra as well, as I think you might be aware of. In particular with regards to our observers, what is the point in having observers if they do not interact, if they do not even renew their interest in remaining an observer? And so in that line, I'm just wondering aloud what the point is of having members if, for instance, they would indicate, don't wait for us for a vote because, well, we're frankly not interested in what you're doing and we're not going to participate. Is there a point in having them as a member in the first place?
Yes, but, first of all, CCNSO is an open organization, so anyone can join. I don't think we should just kick the members out of the organization just because they say, okay, we're not going to participate in any votes. There could be different reasons for that. Maybe they don't understand, they don't follow. And, I don't blame them. Following PDP in the course of several years is, it can be a little bit tricky, especially for smaller registries where they don't have so many resources to dedicate to following all the issues. Of course, that's an... Again, this could be discussed, but we just thought that in this case, when the growing membership of CCNSO is causing more and more problems in reaching the quorum, especially to those registries who really they're not joining CCNSO to vote. And there were also other issues, as Gabi perhaps could comment on that more. Some registries actually believe that in their culture, it's believed that if you don't vote, so you actually do not object. In some other cultures, it's the opposite. If you don't vote, you object, for example. Yeah, well, it's just we are so different. Gabi, can you?
Well, maybe I'll thank you very much for that, Christina. I think, Peter, you raise a very good question, but it's probably something that is best addressed elsewhere and is not per se under the remit of this particular working group. I think it is a question we have to ask ourselves as we hit 145 members who have very, obviously very different reasons for joining us, and some are going to be more or less engaged, yet our rules remain the same. We definitely do have to take a look at the issue of membership, but that's probably a more existential question for some other working group or conversation, as opposed to Christina's working group, which had a very specific remit about making some recommendations regarding quorum.
Can I have a quick follow-up?
Yes, please go ahead.
Well, then, specifically to the point of this working group, I would recommend not to include wording that says, if you don't bother to vote, that's okay for us. Because I think that really sends out the wrong message.
Okay.
Becky had a hand up as well, Byron.
And Jordy as well. Okay, go ahead, Becky.
I just wanted to say, I actually think that this notion of asking people to indicate what their non-vote means is very interesting and probably good. At the very least, we're going to have to sort of get people educated about how we vote and how we look at these votes. So having that mechanism and sort of requiring some kind of engagement, I think, really might be a pretty good educational tool.
Okay. So that's regarding recommendation number two, and find some sort of vehicle where they can express their non-vote.
Right. I think it's just, sort of another way of getting them to engage and interact, even if they don't feel comfortable voting on something in particular.
Right. Okay. And Jordy, you had your hand up.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. No, just subscribe what Peter has just said and maybe add that if certain TLDs are not going to participate because they abstain, I think that's going to be difficult that they will reason every time we will abstain if it's because they just cannot follow the pace and read off the documents, so they are not informed to vote, or they just abstain because what Katrina said, it's a cultural thing. Okay, I don't want to be involved in that or whatever. So I think the abstention thing, I understand that it's quite critical for to reach the quorum, but I think it's going to be difficult to really count them out if we don't want them to get them in quorum, because it's going to be difficult to really have them express their opinion on, okay, count me out, because they are not participating already, so just that.
Right. That's a good point. All right, are there any other questions or comments for Katrina or on this issue in general? I don't see any. No, Becky, do you have your hand up?
Sorry, just didn't take it down.
Okay. Any more comments? I see nothing on Adobe. So we do have the four recommendations here. of which one has some question around it. Katrina, maybe I could just ask, on the point that Peter raised, and that we heard Jordi echo a little bit, around the participation of people or non-participation of individuals for various cultural reasons, do you think there's any kind of opportunity to have a more proactive way of people to abstain? What was your sense of how that would be received? If one of the issues, seemingly one of the bigger issues here, was around cultural dynamics, do you think a proactive way for people to abstain would help here? Or is that just putting something in place that still nobody's going to utilize?
Meaning proactive, it's just...
I just mean that they would have, instead of silence, they would actually indicate, I am not voting or abstaining.
Well, yes, we reviewed actually different scenarios, and one of the views represented in our group was that that should be viewed as one of the services provided by the CCNA, so that CCTLDs should be chased and actually not trying to convince them that they must vote and must participate. Personally, I don't think that going after those who don't care is the right approach, and we should actually assign a task like that to our secretariat. What we were thinking about is just in line of the another working group on election review, where we try to introduce an online tool where easy way to vote and to express your views and to have everything in one place. Our idea was that people could indicate. If they're abstaining or just...
Okay. Well, there are... essentially you have three core recommendations plus a recommendation to review the rules according to current needs. So maybe let's take a stab at breaking up the recommendations, since we haven't heard any objection to recommendations number one or three. And just so everybody's on the same page, recommendation number one is to keep the quorum for PDPs or policy development voting as is. So it would be quite a high bar that would remain in place for something as significant as PDPs. Are there any comments or issues on that recommendation? I don't see any hands up, and I hear nobody. So if you're talking, you're on mute. But in the spirit of a non-vote, meaning silence gives consent, I'm going to take that particular recommendation as not objectionable. That everybody would seem to believe that continues to be appropriate. Okay. So the current quorum rule for PDPs, your recommendation is to maintain it as is, and that would appear to be acceptable to the council or the quorum of councillors who are on the call today. Then we will go to the third recommendation, which is to abandon the current quorum need for council elections. In order to make the process smoother, and instead use a simple majority model where the majority of the ballots cast decide who will win the council election. Is there any feedback, comments, or questions on that recommendation?
Byron, this is Bart.
Bart, go ahead.
One of the things, and maybe that's what the council needs to realize, This means a change to the bylaws and therefore a PDP.
That's an important point, yes.
Byron, this is Leslie. I think I was going to ask that question, and Bart helpfully reminded me. I would suggest that we don't embark on changes that require a PDP currently until we've got some broader ideas as to other things we might want to address through that review.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anything that requires bylaw updates is generally a long and painful process for any organization.
Absolutely, and it may well be that it is time for us to look at our bylaws again. It just would be helpful if that were a broader review rather than just as a result of this specific recommendation.
Thank you. Any other comments? Let me just ask then, recognizing the bylaw issue, are there any substantive issues with the content of recommendation number 3? Just in general, that probably is a good idea or makes sense. Not taking into consideration the hurdle associated with getting there. Okay. I don't see any objections.
Byron, this is Bart again.
Yes.
Say, in case of the board selection, it would be fairly easy because, say, what we've done, say, we do two guidelines. One is on the council election and the other one is on the board selection. And the board selection could be easily updated to reflect this because at the end of the day, and therefore you had item number 3 on your agenda, so according to the bylaws, the council selects the board member, but say, we've organized it in such a way that it's effectively done the membership. So that can be adjusted easily.
Okay, for boards, so just to be clear, so referring to board seats 11 or 12, I can board seats 11 or 12. And you're suggesting that could be done by simple majority vote without cracking open the bylaws.
Yeah. So move forward, say that's why, we've included the draft resolution because there are some, say, at the same time what you see, there are some recommendations from IDMP Working Group 2 relating to changes to the rules of the CCNSO, is that staff prepares for the next council meeting a overview of, say, some of these changes, assuming that in principle the recommendations of the working group are supported.
Okay. Any feedback on that? Okay. It certainly raised a number of good questions, not the least of which is what's required from a bylaw perspective for any or all of these. I'm going to presume, well, I shouldn't presume when it comes to bylaws. Bart, do you have any comment re-bylaws on recommendation number 2? Would there be any impact there? Presumably there would because it's on actual who is counted for a vote and who is not.
There is no language in the bylaws regarding this. But what I suggest and therefore say, assuming that the council in principle agrees, but with these recommendations, at least as a basis to move forward, that we present to Council at the next meeting what are the implications, a paper on the implications of these suggested changes.
And are you suggesting that the quorum study group would have to take that next step?
Oh, I can do that. We as staff can do that together with, say, the chair of the quorum study group, if she's willing.
Okay. Well, my take on this is at least two of the three items have general agreement in principle, though clearly there's a very large logistical hurdle to overcome. And probably too large to be done simply on their own. Now, whether it's appropriate for the CCNSO to be undertaking some kind of broader bylaw review is a wholly other question. But that said, it does make sense to me, just given the conversation and question that we've had here today, that follow up on the implications of what this would actually take makes sense, because I think at this stage we're now having a conversation where not all the facts are evident to us. So if you were able to, in conjunction with Katrina, so we're volunteering Katrina a little bit here, to follow up with a paper on the implications and what it would take, I think that would be actually very helpful to have a more fulsome conversation. Katrina,
yes,
sorry to put you on the spot. Are you able to do that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So as an action item, let's do that and conclude this conversation with the action item that the Secretariat and Katrina will follow on this work with a paper on what the implications and logistics of making any of these changes would look like. So with that, I just want to say, Katrina and the rest of the working group, thank you very much. This is certainly an important issue and one that we seem to be facing more and more, so we need to come to some better process on how we vote, and I think this is a very helpful first step. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to something that's potentially less substantive. Item number 8, review of the CCNSO cocktail party. Well, my review is I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I guess the issue, the more serious issue is after, I think it was 3 meetings, we were going to have a review on the new format of the CCNSO get-together, which had grown into fairly large sit-down dinners, and a few meetings ago after the Toronto meeting, we decided to change the format to a cocktail party-oriented format, and we are now at that point where we'd agreed to review whether it was working or not. I think that would summarize the situation. Any comments or feedback on the current cocktail format versus the previous sit-down dinner format? Are we happy with the current format?
It's Katrina here. I think it's working out very great. Well, you don't have to obtain a ticket. You just can go and interact with people.
Okay. Thank you, Katrina. Peter, is your hand up?
Hi, Byron. Yes, I think it's much better. It also serves the purpose of the whole thing much better because you talk to many more people than those that you happen to sit next to. And from talking to people and listening to their observations, I understood that people are also talking more to people outside their typical group of neighboring CCTLDs or CCTLDs in the same region. It seems to break down some walls. So I think it's a great initiative. It's always perfectly organized. So we should continue with it.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and I would agree. That's certainly been my observation, that it has certainly encouraged much more and much broader conversation. Thanks. Leslie, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I was just going to say that what we were trying to do was get away from the scramble for tickets and also ensure that we could have a larger number of people attend, and I think it's worked for that. I just would suggest that in a year's time, we make some change of some description so as to keep it continually refreshed.
Good point. Thank you. Any other comments or input? Okay. So, hello?
This is Scotty. I just wanted to point out that in the beginning, this event started as a council dinner where the members of the council got together and had dinner, and there were no spouses or anything, other people involved. And that was very good, too, because when we operate with you know, this kind of format, there's very little interaction between people except to comment on some particular opinion. And I think that it's important that we have some kind of social time together.
You mean just as a council? Okay. Thank you. Any other feedback on the current cocktail party format? So I'm going to suggest that, you know, at least anecdotally and what we've heard here today, that the format is popular and has been well received and is achieving its objective. I would say it's probably also achieving the objective that it's a little more manageable for the host country operator. But I think Leslie's made a good point that in a year we should follow up, so in another three meetings, introduce us back onto the agenda for just a review to make sure that it's still serving our needs. And with that, I'm going to close item number 8 and move on to item number 9, which is various council updates. As chair kicking it off, you have already heard most of the updates I've had, which have been around the action items listed at the beginning, as well as the fact that I will be engaged in the 5th strategy panel later this week and have initiated that informal mailing list of the individual CC operators who are going to be our point people on the various internet governance for initiatives. And I think that summarizes what I've been up to since we met in BA. 9.2, Keith is not here and didn't provide any written update, but given that BA is so closely behind us, and I don't think that he had a material update. Are there any councillor updates? Item number 9.3. I don't see any hands up, so I will take that as no further updates. 9.4, are there any regional updates? I know we have Carolina and Peter on the call. Peter, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a brief one, and I just saw that Gabby forwarded the invites as well, but this morning, around 12 probably, we received an invite from ICANN to discuss the European regional strategy next week on Wednesday, which is ridiculous timing, as always, and half of Brussels already had an invite before Central was alerted. So I just want to signal to other councillors that if you see this happening in your region, I would be interested to learn more. Since we keep on struggling to have a decent communication channel with our regional VP. And it's getting to a level of frustration where we're really wondering if we should keep on posting comments to ICANN strategies, European strategies, global strategies. It just doesn't seem to make any difference. So apart from that, no update. But if you have some similar experience or would have an idea on how to solve that, please let me know. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I don't see Carolina's hand up. In the interim, any feedback? If you have any feedback for Peter, I would suggest we can take it offline and we can provide it directly to him. Carolina, go ahead.
Yes, well, not very much since Buenos Aires, except getting ready our dates for our meetings next year. And with regards to Peter's concern, yes, we sometimes have the same kind of issues, but we are working in smaller teams with the ICANN Lucky, so in that respect, I think it makes it easier. So, Peter, you might wish to have a more sort of kind of focus kind of work with steering committees with ICANN's regional group. That's my only comment. And we will have, I think, a meeting at the end of January with respect to security, stability, and resilience issues in Latin America and the Caribbean as part of the ICANN Black strategy.
Okay. Thank you, Carolina. On to 9.5. Are there any staff updates?
Not from my end. Gabby, Christina?
No, not from my end.
Okay, thank you. Close number 9. Moving on to number 10, working group updates. Roloff sent his apologies, so there'll be no SOP update. Hong, did you have anything for us?
Hi, Baron. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. There's no conference call or other activity for Academy Working Group during these days. So back to you.
Okay, thank you. Closes item number 10. Agenda item 11, liaison updates. Both the GNSO and ALAC updates were provided as part of your package, so I will take those reports as tabled. Are there any questions for Patrick or Ron? And as usual, they were very helpful. Thank you, gentlemen. I don't see any hands up. So, gone. I will take those reports as accepted and no questions. Thank you. Moving on to item number 12, updating the work plan. Bart, did you have any comment or feedback for us on
that? No, it reflects the current status of the working groups, etc. So no additional comments.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 12, dates of next meetings. I think those are a work in progress. Gabby or Christina?
Hi, this is Christina. Yes, I would like to ask the councillors if they're, because the suggested dates are mostly on Thursdays, right? Byron?
Yes.
Yeah, and we always used to have it on Tuesdays, so I for one would like to know how the council feels about changing dates, the day of the week, if people prefer to have it on Tuesdays as always, or if it doesn't matter, or if it's even better on Thursdays.
Can it
Yeah, from my perspective, Thursday is better because we normally have our board meetings on Tuesdays. And I suspect that's why it moved.
Yes, there's a little secret. I have almost always my board meetings are on Tuesdays. So I have a regular conflict, unfortunately. So I'm probably the origin of this suggestion, but yeah, same issue as Leslie. Would there be any objections to moving it to Thursday? I'm seeing, from what I can see on Adobe Connect, what I'm seeing is basically indifference. Either way, it doesn't matter. Okay for me. So I'm not seeing any objection to that.
Dottie has raised her hand, Byron.
Maybe
she wants to say
something. Dottie, go ahead.
my only comment is that we keep it as has been suggested, but not emphasized, on the same day, like a Tuesday or a Thursday, for each meeting, because the greatest mayhem occurs when people try to make it convenient for everyone and change the date and time all around so different parts of the world are accommodated. But I think if you just pick one and stick with it is the best of all possible approaches to these regular conference calls.
Yes, Dottie, I completely agree with you. So the question, it would remain at the same time, which is an appropriate time given all of our different time zones. So no change to the time, just the request that we change it to be consistently on Thursday.
Okay, Byron, I think that one or two suggestions here are actually on a Monday, mostly on Thursdays, but with a couple of exceptions. Should we be consistent on Thursdays, then we can work that out afterwards.
Okay. So from what I'm seeing, and there's actually been quite a bit of feedback on the chat on Adobe Connect for anybody who's not on there, I'm not seeing any real objection, and in fact the majority seem to be okay or indifferent. So with that, maybe Christina, what I would ask is that you take it away and we'll try to keep it at exactly the same time of day but consistently on Thursdays.
Okay, sure.
Thank you very much. And the last item is item number 14, any other business? Is there any other business? Anything anybody wants to say?
Well, I would like to bring something up. With respect to the liaisons that we have one from ALAC to the CCNSO, one from CCNSO to ALAC. The ALAC provides funding for attendance at meetings for their liaison, and the CCNSO, while it occasionally provides funding, does not consistently provide funding, and I think that we should provide funding on a regular basis for people who are liaisons because they do a lot of extra work. They run around and try to get to both sets of meetings, and it just seems to me fair that to have them both funded if one is going to be.
Gabby, so this is obviously a travel funding related issue. As far as a point in any other business, I think it's...
Sorry, I was on mute. Could you repeat the question? I just heard it was directed to me.
Can I just, maybe I'll just summarize it. Dottie's raising the fact that we have liaisons with the other groups, including ALAC, but we don't necessarily have travel funding to support our liaison. And I think there's a... Dottie is suggesting that if we're asking these people to do the work, that we should also be supporting them through travel funding that allows them to get to the meetings. My sense is, for point of any other business, this is a non-trivial discussion. that I would ask, given the time today and that we are already a few minutes over, that we bring this forward to the next council meeting as a specific agenda item, and we can have that conversation then.
Can I just add on that we actually need to submit the names for the Singapore meeting by the end of December, so that would be, we would not be able to discuss that for the Singapore meeting then, yeah, because we need to submit all the names by the, I think it's the 20th of December to ICANN. So if we will defer it, it's probably not going to happen. But I suggested that this is an issue for the Travel Fund Committee, so I just suggested dossiers on the Travel Fund Committee that should be raised within the Travel Fund Committee.
Well, but the sense of it, the Travel Fund Committee doesn't agree, so I think it needs a sense of the council.
Okay.
It's ALEC pays and CCNSO doesn't.
Right.
That's basic situation.
Okay. So I'm going to say this is, like I said, this is certainly an issue worth surfacing and having a meaningful conversation about. I think there's enough content and issue behind it that it's not reasonable to just bring it up without any background to the council.
Okay.
So as an item, I think we should raise it as a specific agenda item for the next council meeting, where we will have whatever materials are required or appropriate for us to have an informed conversation. I recognize that it presents a problem for one for the next ICANN meeting, and I guess all I can say is that we will. The only thing we can do is advise the Travel Fund Committee that this will be an agenda item. But at this point, I don't think we can have a substantive conversation without background.
That sounds perfect.
Okay, so duly noted and recognized, but we can't address this issue meaningfully on this call. Thanks, Dottie. Leslie, I see you have your hand up. Did you want to?
Carolina as well, Bob.
And Carolina, okay. Carolina, I think you're on mute. Leslie, go ahead.
I did. Thank you, Byron. Just quickly, I mean, it took me a while to get to grips with liaisons, and I don't mean this as any criticism for people who are currently in that role, but we did have some issues with a previous incumbent, and I guess I would like to broaden that conversation out as to what exactly the role is and what, as a council, we're expecting from them. And I hear Dottie's travel funding point, but I think it's a bit broader than that, in the sense that, as far as I'm aware, we've never really said, this is what the role is about, this is what we expect to have from you in that role. And also, stating the obvious, we are missing some liaisons, and I know we have struggled from time to time with a GAC liaison, for example. So we might want to look at the liaison issue just a bit more broadly, but then wrap in that travel funding point.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. That's a good point. Carolina?
I heard that there's the ALEC has organized a CCTLD study group. Yes, can you hear me?
No, there's a huge amount of feedback. Very hard to hear you.
Okay. Is it better now?
A little bit, but try again.
Okay. The ALEC has a nice CCTLD working group. They're doing some kind of studies on different CCTLDs. I don't know if anyone who's sort of liaising with ALEC has heard about this.
Sorry, I'm definitely having trouble hearing you.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else is, but I am. Maybe if it's short, Carolina, yeah, if you could type it. Thank you. Bart, while Carolina is typing, do you have a comment?
No, not on this particularly. I had two other topics to raise on the AOB.
Okay, we'll let Carolina type away. If you could be short and to the point, given the time.
Yes. Two things. First of all, Byron and I received a note from Margie Milam, who is ICANN staff, seeking input from individual CCTLDs in who is expert study, so not from the CCNSO, but from individual CCTLDs. But she sent it to us for the council to relay to the individual CCTLDs. So that's one. And secondly, is the geographic regions working group, so under leadership of Dave Archibald, expects a statement from the CCNSO council, either in support or not in support, by the 31st of December. They prepared a template. I will prepare it for the council and send it on the email list. That's all.
Okay, thank you. So on the first point, are you going to be able to, as a secretary, can you just send that out and distribute it to the individual CCs?
Yes.
I didn't hear anything that sounded like it needed council involvement there, other than a general acknowledgement that that's okay. All right. And Dave Archibald, so they want feedback in a template over the next 3 weeks?
Yes. The point is, say, by the 31st of December, what one is, as we were not able to comment on it, in order to submit the final report to the board, need either an expression of support for the recommendations or of objection. That's a part of the charter.
Okay.
And so staff has prepared, together with a template, to express support. So I'll make a strawman and send it out as soon as possible.
Okay, when do you think you'll be able to do that?
Next week. You will have it.
Okay. Thank you. With that...
Before the seasonal break.
Yes. With that, given that it's almost quarter after the hour, I am going to call for adjournment of this meeting. So, I don't think we need to do it formally. We will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate the turnout that we had here and our ability to reach quorum, and would kindly ask that we continue this for the next meeting. So thank you very much, everybody, and we will speak again in January. Happy holidays for those who will be celebrating holidays in the interim. Bye for now, everybody.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.